Why did he say that? Where was he grabbing her? What, did he really say that? I must have misinterpreted, because I'm trying to read all my chats at the same time. I'm sorry. He didn't actually say that, right? There's no way that he actually said that, right? Well, where did he grab her? No, hold on.
Drunkenly driving over there.
Yes.
Comes into the house, and then it gives... she says he's grabbing her on the couch. Well, where is
she saying no?
Right. Where's he grabbing her? Right. Like, is he like immediately starting like the glute massage or whatever?
Right.
It can't be that. It can't possibly be that.
How Graham Platner was interpreting whether or not there was consent, whether or not he was invited over. I don't.
The cops show up. They bust down the door. They've got their guns raised. He's fucking just raping the fuck out of this chick as she's screaming. He's got his phone. He's like, officers, I have a text from 1 hour ago. All 9 male officers step forward. It's like, God damn it, he's got the text. Let's go, boys. Pack it in.
What she called this is a sexual assault, and her therapist sort of acknowledging that this happened to her. We talked to people who she...
That statement is just not true, or it didn't make it into the story. His characterization there is very not true.
You described your relationship with Graham Platner as a very good example of what modern dating is like.
Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that, I think there's a lot of situationships. I think people are dating multiple people at the same time, whether that's known or not known by the people involved. So it was just a very common practice is what I viewed it as.
And kind of casual?
Yeah, very casual.
And when did you meet him and how did you meet him?
Met him on Bumble, actually, in 2019. And I had known who he was. He grew up in the next town over. We had like a mutual family friend, so I always knew of his existence, but that was when we actually met.
And what did you think of him?
At first I thought he was great. He's very well spoken. He's intelligent. He's charming. I thought a lot of good things.
A situationship is dating multiple people at once? No. But I can't. She's probably my generation. She's not Gen X, right? Maybe it's a regional thing. Nothing that she just said sounds like any kind of slang or vernacular that I would use. You're never dating multiple people at once. You might be like hooking up with a few people or like just cat. I don't even know what you would say. You wouldn't even say like casually seeing or casually dating. You just say you're like hooking up with people. Are you friends with benefits or something? A situationship is usually when somebody is like not committing fully and the other person is like in limbo. But situationship is dating but not exclusive. I don't know if like alpha or some Gen Zers might use that. If that is, that's the most retarded thing I've ever heard in my entire life. But is there a meaningful distinction between dating and casually dating? I don't know. I've never heard the term casually dating before, ever. That sounds like a fuckboy term, or I don't even know.
We had a great first date. It went and flowed really well.
He has described himself as self-medicating with alcohol.
Yeah.
He has described himself that way.
Yeah.
So I would think maybe that would have reared its head.
Yeah, and unfortunately, that's something that I think a lot of people are desensitized to, in general, heavy drinking, and especially out of the relationship that I've just come out of, so it wasn't anything abnormal to me. I remember we were out one night and he was drinking, and that's when he told me that he has PTSD.
When the New York Times story came out, you were in it, but you didn't go as far in that story as you are today.
Yeah.
Why not?
I didn't want to. I didn't want to have to violate this huge level of privacy to my own life to be able to infer that this person is not honest and trustworthy. I felt really protective of my own privacy throughout this whole process, and it got to a point where my privacy was no longer going to happen. And that was when I kind of just made the decision that, like, I'm going to say my piece and get it out there. I had tried to give the impression that something, you know, worse happened. And that's when it was like, I refused to comment further.
You definitely alluded to a bad night.
Yeah.
So bad that you never saw him again afterwards.
Yeah. I had tried to give the impression that something, you know, worse happened. And that's when it was like, I refused to comment further.
You definitely alluded to a bad night.
Yeah.
So bad that you never saw him again afterwards.
Yeah.
But just to underline the point, you're not coming forward because you have any political motivation.
No, not at all. That was actually one of the huge reasons that I didn't come forward and still struggled. Like, that was a huge moral conflict to feel like...
Because you'd like a Democrat to be in the Senate.
Yeah, yeah. I like the things that he speaks about. They're important. They're important to people. I'm one of those people.
But at the end of the day, you feel he's not being honest.
He's not being honest, no.
And we should note, this is 2021 we're talking about. It's only 5 years ago. Tell me about that. When was it?
It was at the end of 2021. I remember it being shortly after I moved back into my winter home, because that is where it happened. And it was a night where him and I were texting back and forth, and he had taken something that I said as an invitation, and that's not how he meant it. And I quickly clarified, and he sent a message back indicating that he would come over. And I said, no, don't come over. Right. And he had taken something that I said as an invitation, and that's not how he meant it. And I quickly clarified, and he sent a message back indicating that he would come over. And I said, no, don't come over. Like, I'm not in the mood. Don't come over. And I was more stern with that message. And then I didn't hear back from him. So I thought that meant he got the message or gave up on it or whatnot. And so, like half an hour later, I heard a noise outside my door. And then he came in. He just came into my house. It was unlocked. I live in an area where you don't usually have to lock your doors. I do now. So he came in and I realized, okay, he didn't listen. He's in my home. And I was lying on the couch. It was probably pretty late at night and I was already ready for bed. I just wasn't in bed. And so he had kind of like jumped on top of me and indicated that he had intentions that were sexual in nature. And I remember just at first being like, hey, I'm not into this. Like, don't, I'm not in the mood. Like, don't, whatever. And it got to the point where I was like, okay, I feel like I've said this enough times. Like, he's not listening to me or he's not hearing me. And I looked at him and I remember this very specific look in his eyes. And I could smell alcohol and I was like, this is different. He is heavily intoxicated. Like, and that blank stare was kind of like a photographic memory that I still have of that night.
Okay,
and
what is the look? What does that mean? I feel like people talk about this with Russell Brand too. Like the rapist look or whatever. Is this a thing? I guess I've never had a guy look lovingly at me like that. And I don't know.
And his... that was me recognizing what the situation was. And this wasn't just like, oh, hey, somebody showed up and I'm going to tell him to go home.
The predator stare.
Like, that was me recognizing what the situation was. And this wasn't just like, oh, hey, somebody showed up and I'm going to tell him to go home. Like, he was heavily intoxicated, had intentions with me, and wasn't listening when I said no. And
you were saying, no, don't, no, don't, over and over.
I remember, you know, obviously I've had to recall a lot of this. This is something that I tried for many years to forget. And so small details, you know, might get past me, but yes, I remember very specifically saying, I'm not into this. In my message previously, I told him I had had an old back injury, and I remember saying, like, I'm not in this. I've had a long day. My back hurts. Like I was in that kind of mood, like the leave me alone mood. And there was a little bit of like a scuffle, like altercation. The house that I live in has like this antique sewing kit that I kept beside the couch, and that got knocked over. He like backed into it, or something was maybe pushed into it by me, or something happened in that moment, and that thing got spilled. And
do you remember pushing him away?
I remember potentially pushing away with my legs, like, and then as he backed into it, it spilt, and all of the sewing needles and tape and yarn and everything went everywhere. Everything had fallen onto the floor. And in that moment, I evaluated my safety. Like, a drunk person who's blackout drunk is in my home, has these intentions with me, you know, has already caused this amount of destruction and not listening to me. And so I basically felt safest just complying.
You normally use protection.
Yeah.
And this time he didn't, and you didn't want that.
No.
And he didn't care.
No, I don't think. My words were falling on deaf ears, or drunk ears.
And you were still saying, don't do this, or I'm not into this?
I remember specifically him, like, grabbing at my chest, and I, like, hit his hand, and I said, don't touch me. And I remember that during the altercation,
and then he kept going.
Yeah, and it was this weird mix of, like, coming in and out of, okay, consciousness is a word, but, like, coming to and kind of falling back into that drunken, I don't know what I'm doing state. Yeah, and he would apologize in those moments and then go back to doing what he was doing.
So he was aware that he was doing something wrong,
yeah,
and saying sorry.
I feel like he was, in moments.
Is there any way that he thought this was consensual or no? Just because...
I don't believe that you can think that that scenario was consensual. You have to understand that wasn't, when somebody's repeatedly... I mean, when somebody in the middle of it says, don't touch me, like, yeah, that's obviously not consensual.
Especially if he's apologizing on occasion.
Yeah, yeah. And that next morning... So... After everything ended, I ran to the bathroom, which is just beside my bedroom, and I was in there for a while and just trying to, like, comprehend things. Like,
were you crying? Were you?
I honestly don't. I don't think I was crying. I was, like, more in shock, and yeah, just trying to understand, like, what had just happened. Especially, like, this is a person I have known and have trusted and have had very consensual relationships with, like, you know, all along, until it wasn't. And so that was a really hard thing to understand, that this was a person I trusted, and. So I spent a little bit of time in the bathroom, and when I came back out, he was asleep in my bed. And at that point, I didn't know what my options were. Like, obviously, I don't want this person in my house. And when I, you know, earlier had realized how drunk he was, I knew that he'd driven over that way. Like, I'm surprised he made it to my house. And if I woke him up and sent him home, like, I'm now making the decision to put somebody that drunk on the road. And I didn't want to live with the fact that, like, if he got into an accident or hurt somebody else. And I remember thinking that I could tell him to leave, and I could call the police immediately, and I could at least get him caught for drunk driving. So I was like, I'm going to let him sleep, and the second he wakes up, I'm going to tell him to leave. And so he slept. I lay there in, like, a state of panic all night, and I remember turning on, I have, like, one of those noise machines that you sleep with, and I turn it on Ocean Waves, and I'm like, I'll just try to meditate. And it didn't work. So in the morning, he woke up, and he went to go put his arm around me, and I was like, whoa. And realizing... this person doesn't know that what happened wasn't okay. And so I remember taking his arm and throwing it back at him. And I said, are you fucking serious, Graham? And he's like, what? And I'm like, do you not remember what happened last night? He's like, no. And I'm like, okay, I need you to get dressed and leave and never talk to me again. Like, nothing that happened was okay. And he did. He just got up, and got dressed and left and didn't seem concerned.
He didn't ask me
a single question. And I mean, in the moment, I was like not wanting to talk about it anyway, so maybe I felt fine about that in the moment, but like I was still like, how can somebody that you've been in a, you know, some type of relationship with for this long tells you to never speak to you again about something that you did, and you didn't even ask what you did? So he left. He didn't talk to me. And I waited a couple weeks because I knew that with what had happened, I could have gotten pregnant, and I wanted to wait and to make sure that that wasn't the case. And so I waited until that happened, and I sent him kind of like a final send-off message. And
what did it say?
I remember a few pieces of it. And I remember saying that like nothing that happened that night was okay or consensual. And I waited. On Instagram, you see when it says seen. And so I gave it a couple days. It said that it was seen, and I still didn't hear back out. And at that point, I blocked him on everything. I deleted his number. I blocked and deleted his like text phone number as well, because text and Instagram are, I think, the two ways that we had communication. And I've never heard from him since.
He posted a comment on Reddit about a video promoting underwear designed to prevent rape. And he wrote, quote, "Rape is a real thing. If you're so worried about it to buy Kevlar underwear, you'd think you might not get blacked out, fucked up around people you aren't comfortable with."
Right.
What did you think when you saw that?
I thought, here's a man who was drunk and who, by dictionary definition, raped me. And he's blaming drunk women. So I just felt like that was a very odd take to have on that. And I also feel like with all of the comments that he made about women, sexual assault, rape, even, you know, the comments that he had made that was in the New York Times article about, you know, threatening people with rape, like, why does this person have this issue like scattered throughout their life, throughout their commentary? Like, it's on their mind. Why do they have such a strong opinion about women coming forward with allegations? Like, I just feel like this isn't the first time.
I know that you have been very reluctant to tell this story.
Yeah.
Very reluctant. Why did you ultimately decide to do it? Why come forward?
A few reasons. One of the biggest ones is that I think that there are a lot of men in this world relying on the silence of women and to be where they are. And I don't want to contribute to that. I also want to just get my life back.
There are going to be people, maybe even his campaign, certainly his supporters, who say this is politically motivated. What would you say to that?
I couldn't disagree more. That was actually one of the reasons that I didn't come out.
Because you agree with his politics.
I do. I really agree with his politics. I think we need somebody with those political stances and who are willing to do the work. And, you know, I see his political videos. They get me fired up as well. I understand why people want someone like him in office. You know, and I felt like me coming forward would essentially potentially take that away. And I felt really uncomfortable with the responsibility of and the weight of my story and what that might do.
When people hear this from you, are you saying you should not vote for him because of what happened?
I'm not going to go as far as to say that. I'm just here to tell my story, to give a clearer picture of who he is and the type of past that he has. And I just think it's fair to the democratic process to let people know who they're voting for.
This has obviously been very difficult for you to talk about for 5 years. Mm-hmm. And even when you're telling the story, you don't use the word.
Yeah.
So let me just be, and I apologize, let me be as direct as I can. Did Grant Leiner rape you?
By definition, yes. Absolutely.
Because he had non-consensual sex with you.
Yeah.
Forced himself on you.
Mm-hmm.
After you had told him no and fought him off.
Yeah. He violated multiple layers of consent that night by coming into my home when I asked him not to, and by advancing on me when I told him not to. And furthermore, another incident that I had told him not to do. And
with protection.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah. By the way that my nervous system reacted to this experience, absolutely.
There are going to be Democrats who say, I believe you, but I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm going to vote for him anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm not victim blaming, but she seems pretty stupid in the way she handled this. I get that when someone is raped, they're not going to act in a way a normal person would, but her action seems so stupid. I mean, I don't think there's anything in her story that seems like super outside of a reaction. The only thing that bothers me is trickling the story. I don't understand that one fully. But we'll go through this. Why didn't she call the cops after he fell asleep? She gave a reason for that. That's just such a huge thing. You're taking a thing and you are just making it so much more than that. I don't know how else to say it. It just becomes, it's not even someone saying he's a danger. It's not even so much like she might get killed or whatever. It's not even that. It's just, you're taking a thing that was like a really shitty experience, and then you're making it into such a much, 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 much bigger thing that now, rather than this being a discrete, horrible experience, this is going to become like an arc in your life, you know?
I'm going to, because we need a progressive voice in the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to vote for him anyway?
Mm-hmm.
Because we need a progressive voice in the United States Senate.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to be okay with that? Are you going to be able to handle that? I'm not saying it's the right answer or the right response. But.
No, I have friends who feel that way. And that's been a hard pill to swallow. And I guess I need to not ask, potentially. Maybe I need to not ask in order to not care what they do. I understand. I understand that the state of our political environment is so much so that we need a lot of change. And you know, I'm not mad at anyone who has voted for him all along. If he wasn't who he was, I would be voting for him as well. And going forward, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
There's something you said that I just want to find out more about. You said he was forcing himself on you. It was getting violent. You were pushing him off. You were kicking him off. Needles and sewing equipment was falling all over. And walk us through the process where you decided that the safest thing you could do was just let him rape you.
I had never been in that situation before. And I remember it being an instant where I had recognized that he wasn't listening to me. It wasn't just that he wasn't hearing me or whatnot. And then I recognized his level of intoxication. And I knew in that moment I wasn't safe. And I don't think I was safe to physically fight back. He's big, he's strong. And I just had to evaluate my safety and come up with the least worst outcome to the situation. And so I felt like complying for my safety was the least worst option.
But that's not consenting.
No, complying is not consenting.
Complying is letting him rape you.
Is getting it over with.
So that he didn't hurt you even more?
I don't know what this person is capable of. I don't think anybody does. And even people you know for years and trust, you don't know the depths of what they're capable of. And
you were afraid for your safety.
Yeah, I was afraid for my safety.
Beyond, not that rape isn't a horrific thing, but beyond.
Right.
Right.
I didn't want to find out how unsafe I could get that night. Or how harmed I could be that night.
I know this is probably one of the toughest things you've had to do in your life. So
people are saying that Tapper is a retard and these are crazy questions, but like, this is a big accusation. It's theoretically sinking a potential senator race. Like, you kind of have to get it all on the record. You kind of have to ask these questions, right? It's pretty important, I think. Real talk, have you ever been sexually assaulted? I can't remember if you ever shared a story in this realm. There's a long story that's into my past. It's not really as relevant. I'll say this, though, as a bisexual dude, I don't know if this is just for gay guys. I don't think it is. All my experiences with women, I would say there's probably only been one that, like, really pushed where I was like, hey, like, no. I would say for men, it might sound dramatic. I would characterize like about half the experience I have with men where if you weren't willing to like just tell somebody to fuck off, I would say like half of them would like be in the realm of like sexual assault or rape. I don't know. Again, I don't know if it's just gay dudes that are like this or if it's also heterosexual men, but like what men do is they will ask to do a thing. And then when you say, no, I don't want to do that thing, then they'll like kind of sort of hear you. But in 2 minutes, they're going to try the same thing again to see if you give the same response. And that like perpetual boundary testing by guys that just want to do a thing over and over is just, I don't know if every guy all like, if that's like a heterosexual thing too, it's so beyond. And then the issue also is that for me, like, I don't give a fuck. Like if we're gonna fight and kill me, then fuck it, we'll do it. But like, if you're a woman, especially because the average guy is going to be way bigger than you, way more upper body strength than everything else. Like, and you're also already socialized to kind of just be more agreeable and non-confrontational, that the average like social conditioning of a male against the average social conditioning of a woman is that, I don't know. I've had really bad thoughts about this for the past like 2 years. I feel like a lot of men are accidental rapists, but I don't, what do you want me to say? Okay. Remember to hate women too though. Okay. The thing is that's how you have to be with women so often. Like, women just refuse to initiate anything. Well, so, the thing that I said was that the primary contributors to a lot of like, I don't know if you call it date rape or whatever else, is that men are conditioned to push, 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 because that's just that's our social conditioning and that's how we approach sex. And women are kind of conditioned to be agreeable, but also to not push and to accept if it's a thing they want. And I think that this dynamic, just because so many men are socially fucking autistic and retarded, just always creates environments that are fertile for, I don't know if you call it casual rape or whatever. I don't know. It's not really rape, but it's like not good. Because most men are just too retarded or autistic to tell when somebody is like uncomfortable. So I don't know. It's just not a good setup. But like, I mean, I will also say, and I think the red pill is in a bunch of people. Honestly, the way that like the feminazis and all these people talk about sex is fucking retarded too. But the way the red pill is talking about it is also retarded. There has never, ever, 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 ever been a time ever in my entire life. Okay. And I promise I've fucked more women than every red pill you've ever heard on the internet. I swear to God I have, except for maybe Andrew and Tristan. Okay. That I have never in my life had to slow down a sexual interaction because I like verbally checked in with somebody. And that's pretty normal, especially with a new partner, because people will be okay with kissing. And like, I've never in my life had a thing where it's like, if I slide my hand out a woman's shirt or something, I was like, oh, is this okay or whatever? Where she's like, oh, I can't believe you asked me that. Oh, you totally killed the mood. Just stop. Like that's, it's never happened. And if it does happen where somebody says that, it's because they didn't want to say no directly. They were just trying, like, that's just never, ever been the case before. For some reason, I don't know why, this became a popular myth with red pillars. They're like, oh yeah, like if you ask permission, you're going to kill the mood or whatever. That's just never been the case. If people are horny and want to fuck, then they're horny and they want to fuck. You checking in or asking a question like that is never going to be like, actually, stop. I'm dried up now. A girl made this accusation against my son, his senior year of high school, and if she hadn't retracted it a few weeks later, it would have destroyed his life with no way of disproving it. Damn, that's rough. I feel like also for like high schoolers, it's rough because like, I feel like every sexual interaction you have in high school is like rapey and horrible and terrible because nobody has any fucking idea what the fuck they're doing. It's all just like horrible, terrible, fucked up shit. Making accusations like that, unless it's like some for real fucked up shit, you know, like somebody's like getting their drink spiked or they're getting super drunk and people are taking advantage of them, or somebody's like forcibly, you know, somebody's saying no and the other person is doing it. Still, it's like definitely like pushes it past, but... Wait, I was AFK. How true was the claim that she was more upset at him for sleeping around than raping her? That's you couldn't substantiate that from the DMs at all. She just had a longer message about the an OkCupid profile than about the drunken rape thing or whatever. But I mean, it was like 8 messages. So, how would you advise young men deal with potentially gray arena sexual encounters in the past? It seems like blackout drunk acts are very common during early drunk days. Kind of spooky, no? I've only been blackout drunk, I think, once in my life. Maybe people drink more and get blackout drunk pretty regularly. I don't know. That seems kind of spooky. I mean, if it happened in the past, I mean, that's super easy. Just make sure that whatever career path you choose or whatever you do in life, you're conservative, and then no one will give a fuck. But if you're liberal, ooh, good luck. Destiny, I'm European and we've been drinking since literally 15. Every single party since then has involved people being consistently blackout drunk and hooking up. Seems like a nightmare if American standards are increasingly being universalized. I mean, I think that... maybe, but if you are getting blackout drunk like weekend after weekend, you are an alcoholic. You have a problem. Just so you know that. That's not healthy behavior at all. If you find yourself getting blackout drunk multiple times a month, you have a drinking problem and you should probably stop drinking, or you need a friend to hold you accountable. That's not normal. That's not okay. You're doing damage to your brain and your liver and it's your... Well, sorry, fuck. You said European. I don't know. You might be fucking Eastern European or some shit, in which case, I don't know. Good luck. But... Is drinking 6 to 8 beers once a week really going to do damage? I think even having one drink a day is bad for you, yeah. Alcohol is, I mean, it's a poison you're putting in your body, and then you're clearing it, you're having fun. I mean, you can have fun. I mean, I don't think you should never drink, you know, do what makes you happy. Just acknowledge that you're kind of hurting yourself a little bit too, you know. But that's okay. You could argue similarly for things like sugar. I've always heard a few units a week can be good for you. Is that bullshit? Yeah, there was some old wives' tale or whatever, or old doctor's myth of like a glass of wine a day or a weekend because of antioxidants or something can be good for you. But I think that's just not true. It's all bad. These guys have more things to say.
Politico and CNN omitted a key detail from its reporting around the Graham Plattner sexual assault allegations we have learned. Let's take a listen to how Jenny Rassicot, the accuser of Graham Plattner, described how the evening began in her interview with We Have Learned. Let's take a listen to how Jenny Rassicot, the accuser of Graham Plattner, described how the evening began in her interview with Jake Tapper on CNN.
It was a night where him and I were texting back and forth, and he had taken something that I said as an invitation. And that's not how I meant it. And I quickly clarified. And he sent a message back indicating that he would come over. And I said, no, don't come over. Like, I'm not in the mood. Don't come over. And I was more stern with that message. And then I didn't hear back from him. So I thought that that meant he got the message or gave up on it or whatnot.
Okay, Sagar, so there was no follow-up from Jake Tapper. Mm-hmm. If you listen closely there, that she said, we were texting back and forth.
Oh, man. I hope this is not going to the place where I think it is. Oh, God. Oh, no. We got to calm down. Oh, man. This is going to feel my man hatred. I sincerely believe... I'm sorry. Fuck. The last year, I've been tired with a lot of people. Probably. I don't talk about gender or social issues as much with sex or shit anymore. I feel like 80% of men are gay or hate women or just... Oh, God. Sorry. I feel like he's about to say she sent like some kind of flirty message earlier on, and then that's just like carte blanche for him to fucking full send for like the rest of the day. But it can't be that. It wouldn't be this stupid, right? This is why I always, if a woman is ever asking me for advice on a guy or whatever, I always say like, you know, she's like, oh, how do I let this guy down? Or I don't know if I want to see this guy. I always say ghost. Don't ever owe anybody an explanation. Don't ever do that. Because as soon as you start trying to play some back and forth, it's all over. Don't do it. Don't send a flirty message or don't whatever. Because as soon as you do anything, if the guy is like super into you and he reads that thing in his mind, it's like clear for takeoff. So be very, very, very careful, because men are fucking retards. It's like, imagine putting a steak in front of a dog and then, you know, he's going to jump and try to eat it no matter what the fuck you do. Like, you have to treat them like retarded fucking apes, because who, instead of trying to eat a steak, they're trying to rape you. Like, ugh. But maybe that's not where we're going. We'll see.
And he took something that I said as an invitation to come over. This is, they'd been dating off and on for about 2 years at this point. The follow-up from a normal person at that point is,
what did you say?
What'd you say?
Right.
Like, what was the thing that you said to him that he misunderstood? Mm-hmm. Now, let's take a look at how Politico reported this. This is D8. This is how Politico first reported. So Razzicote told Politico she connected with Plattner on the dating app Bumble in 2019 and had consensual relations with him prior to the night he allegedly assaulted her. That night in late 2021, she said she had exchanged text messages with him and told him not to come over, saying she wasn't in the mood for company. Later that evening, she said she realized when she heard a sound on the stairs that he had let himself into her house, which was unlocked. Plattner came up the stairs, Razzicote said, to where she was on a couch. He got on top of her and kept grabbing her, she said, while she repeatedly told him to stop and that she wasn't interested. Mm-hmm. So, Sagar, you read that, and most people in Washington who read that, they're like, that sounds like he broke in to the house, like, uninvited, and then began a violent assault of her. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does Politico...
Okay, that is what it sounds like, but are we about to get the big reveal here?
...mention what she mentioned to CNN there, that she had said something in the text message exchanges that he mistook as an invitation. Mm-hmm. They just say, and elsewhere in the article, they say he was, quote, uninvited. It turns out, and we have learned, that Politico definitively, at the time of publication, knew precisely what Jenny had texted to Graham that he, according to her, mistook as an invitation to come over. Mm-hmm. And we know this because the Washington Post also interviewed Jenny Razzicote. Mm-hmm. And Jenny told the Washington Post, because she's being honest. Mm-hmm. She's laying out all of the details, which is how it should be. You lay out all the details, and then you let the readers, the public, the voters say, okay, we have all the different facts.
Right.
Here's how we interpret this scenario. So good for her for being...
So this better be a huge bomb drop.
Transparent.
I totally agree with you, and I want to say that up at the top.
Yes.
This is in no way an attack on her. This is about how I believe that the media has handled this story.
She was
truthful from the beginning.
About this. She doesn't...
Right.
She doesn't have the text messages anymore. Plattner apparently doesn't have the text messages anymore, so we're going by her memory of what they are. And to her credit, she divulged the details of the text messages from that evening. Mm-hmm. And to the... She divulged it to the Washington Post. The Washington Post reaches out to the Plattner campaign for comment. Good for the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. And in their request for comment, they mention that Jenny had been texting him talking about a massage earlier. Mm-hmm. And so the Plattner campaign sees this, and they go back to Politico. And they say, apparently there's some more context here about like the back and forth. Do you know about these text messages? The reporter then... exchanges messages with the Plattner campaign. Those messages have been now circulating in Maine politics, in Maine political circles. I obtained a copy of those. Mm-hmm. I was able to authenticate them with sources with knowledge of them. Mm-hmm. And here is what the Politico reporter said to the campaign. Jenny Razzicote had been, quote, texting Plattner about needing her glute massaged. That detail didn't make our story.
Right.
A glute massage. Mm-hmm. So within about a half an hour of getting this glute massage text, Plattner is in the house.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are things that happen where every single criticism I've had of like the ultra wokey people, I'm like, fuck, maybe I was literally wrong about everything. There's no shot that somebody Maybe there's more. We have 3 more minutes.
Now, and she says
she followed up.
No, don't come.
And don't come.
Because he texted back. So he's wasted, clearly. Mm-hmm. He gets this message. I need my glute massaged.
Right.
He comes over. He's texts back, I'm coming over. And she's like, wait, don't come over. She says, don't come over. This is Maine. He's not taking the subway. Mm-hmm. She's drunkenly driving over there.
Yes.
Comes into the house, and then she says he's grabbing her on the couch. Well,
she's saying no.
Right. Where's he grabbing her? Right. Like, is he like immediately starting like the glute massage or whatever?
Right.
Anyway, the Washington Post, to its credit, included a version of the detail. We could put up Washington Post at D7. Mm-hmm. One night in November or December 2021, she said she texted him to say that she could use a massage. Mm-hmm. She said she did.
Well, it's noteworthy that he started fucking her ass before raping her pussy, because she did ask for a glute. Like, why did he say that? Where was he grabbing her? What, did he really say that? I must have misinterpreted, because I'm trying to read all my chats at the same time. I'm sorry. He didn't actually say that, right? There's no way that he actually said that, right? Well, where did he grab her? No, hold on.
I need my glute massaged.
Right.
He comes over. He's texts back, I'm coming over. And she's like, wait, don't come over. She says, don't come over. This is Maine. He's not taking the subway. Mm-hmm. She's drunkenly driving over there.
Yes.
Comes into the house, and then she says he's grabbing her on the couch. Well, where is
she's saying no.
Right. Where's he grabbing her? Right. Like, is he like immediately starting like the glute massage or whatever?
Right.
It can't be that. It can't possibly be that. To the court, this is Ryan Grimm, attorney for the defendant. And he's like, Your Honor, I want it on the record that the first place he touched was indeed her ass.
Anyway, the Washington Post, to its credit, included a version of the detail. We could put up Washington Post at D7. Mm-hmm. One night in November.
He's fairly well accomplished, but if you look into The Intercept, you have an Aegon Chalakian moment. It's funded by Omidyar. Isn't he the one who broke the Tara Reid story? Am I making that up? It was him and Kyle Kalinske, really?
December 2021, she said she texted him to say that she could use a massage. Mm-hmm. She said she did not intend it as an invitation, but he interpreted it that way, immediately replying to say he would come right over. She said she wrote back twice, telling him not to. The Post was not able to review the alleged messages or independently verify them. Rascot said she later deleted them soon after the incident. So they didn't include the glue part, but did mention the massage, to their credit. But because the Politico published first, I didn't even know the Washington Post reported
on this. Exactly, and I think that's why this is important. So there's the most important part. And let's just...
Now we're about to do the lie. So this is where the snake fucks that are destroying our country, this is where they slither into the conversation. I hope I say all this and then I'm retarded because he proves me wrong. This is where they spend the next minute and a half saying, I swear to God, I didn't pre-watch this, okay? They're not going to say this and I'm just wrong. I'm just rambling for no reason. Where they're going to go, we really just want to get this out here because we think that it was an incomplete story and you guys just needed all the facts. Now, we're not saying one way or another if this changes the credibility of her, credibility of the story, anything like that, okay? We're not saying that this means that he didn't necessarily rape or anything, but we thought that them leaving that fact out was incredibly important for you, the viewer, to decide.
Just zoom out, because this does potentially explain why a drunken Plattner enters the home.
Right.
It stops there. Because that's where the rest of the evening and her account of the evening, it no longer accounts for. But it does explain a detail. And I think what was key to the understanding generally that all of us had was that it did genuinely appear as if Plattner had been told explicitly not to come over there, understood that to be the case, broke into the home.
Well, she says she did tell him explicitly not to come though, right?
Wait, what is being alleged here? I want to make that clear. Now, if I were then to submit to due process or any something like that in a trial, and I saw something like that, it would significantly change, again, my understanding of how the event were to begin.
God, fuck, I don't want to be soy. This really is like victim blaming distilled into its purest, rawest essence. What happened last night? He showed up, he was drunk, and he raped the shit out of me. Jeez. Why'd he come over? It's like, oh, we were texting earlier. What would you say to him? I don't know. I talked about like I needed a massage, and he was like, oh, come over. And I was like, no. And it's like, what, bitch? You said what? You were dangling fruit in front of this poor man's eyes? You were offering up your body like a fucking slutty whore? Told him you needed a booty rub? What did you expect? That's just a crazy, that is wild.
In a trial, and I saw something like that, it would significantly change, again, my understanding of how the event were to begin. This does not in any way say that she is lying about what then transcribed. Also, we should not take away agency from Plattner, who is wasted out of his mind, 5 years ago, mind, you know, not 20 years ago, 5 years ago, absolutely blacked out drunk, and then clearly in a position where he has had been in several of these types of encounters, which have been described from Lindsay Fifield to others, women or ex-girlfriends who have talked to the media. He put himself and had terrible judgment, terrible behavior, and put himself in a situation where something like this could happen, which was obviously very traumatizing to Jenny herself in terms of her understanding the Facebook messages about consensually careless. That's why I think this is a media story,
right?
Because I think that the irresponsibility of not reporting that led to an understanding of how the event transpired, which is not fulsome with the general reality. And maybe
there is a world where what they're saying is true, where like if she had asked for like a massage and they had like a past history of hooking up, and then the guy shows up drunk and he starts giving her a massage, she's like naked, and then it progresses. Like, there's a world here where things start to get significantly hazier, but we're not even close to that.
Maybe it seems like you and I are splitting hairs, but the reason why I think it's really important, and when you learn this, it really struck me, is it really reminded me of how a lot of the Me Too cases in 2017 and 2018 transpired, in which it was very obvious. It was purely on the word of one person. You could have contravening evidence of what obviously was a complicated encounter or something where, look, there's genuine, misunderstanding or, a different takeaway. And which
is there, though?
People's lives got totally ruined. And I do think that in this case, like with Plattner, look, it looks like he's on the track to resign. And when he does, from what we know about his finances, if his rich parents don't bail him out, he has no money. And he will be branded, let's call it what it is.
Wait, hold on. What is he? Nobody is suing anybody or anything, right? Or he's not being like, there's no police charges or anything, right? I also hate this. I discovered this with Pixie and with Lauren. When people say they're broke, there's like, rich people broke, and rich people broke is when you have to ask your mom and dad for infinite money because they have infinite money. It's like when I grew up, like for me, like broke is like, man, I really want to finish my music degree, but I kind of have to work to survive. So I'm quitting school, I guess, so that I could keep my casino job. Like that's broke to me. Not like, God, I have to hit up mom and dad, the infinite money bank of mom and dad. His life is going to be over if his parents with infinite money don't help him out.
Rapist for all time. And that is kind of what we're talking about beyond the political implications, but the character of the person. I don't think he has particularly good character personally in terms of the way that he's acted here. But politics is not a character context. Were this really right. If it was, it wouldn't be good.
Yeah. We wouldn't have Trump as president.
Yeah. I say all of this only to say that the way that CNN did not follow up that question and Politico did not include that detail, that is willful in trying to craft a narrative. That's not what we're supposed to do.
Right.
That's why, and that's—
Okay, this is the sign of, and I don't know what they teach you guys in journalist school or whatever the fuck, and if they teach you any different, they're fucking wrong. I don't give a fuck what anybody says, okay? Anytime you get a journalist in huge quotes that tries to say something like, we're not supposed to give a narrative, we're just supposed to report the facts, we're not supposed to have any bias, we just report the facts. The entire concept, even the choosing of a story to report on, you have already begun a narrativizing process by deciding that something is worth reporting on. The editorial process of what information do you include? What information do you exclude? Who do you talk to? What do you all of these things go into creating a story. Now, yeah, there's obviously, you shouldn't be taking one side story completely at face value and then ignoring everything else. You shouldn't be trying to inject your own hyper political partisanship into the story, whatever, of course. To say that you just need to report all the facts without bias, that could be said for any individual fact that you include or not include. So on the other side of this, you could say somebody includes it oh, by the way, before he drunkenly drove over and raped her, she was talking about getting a massage from him beforehand, but she said she didn't want it. People could read that and go, why would you even include that fact? Assuming everything else in the story is true that you're reporting on, including that fact just seems like a way for super misogynistic people to undermine her story, because it doesn't really change any of the relevant stuff afterwards. So for him to pretend that oh no, you just need infinite access to every fact that I want to lay out there, and that's definitely not narrativizing at all, that's just not true. Now, there are important questions to ask about which facts should you include or shouldn't you include, should this fact have been included or not? I can kind of see arguments going both ways for it, but I wouldn't say it's an auto like one way or the other. But for him to say like, oh, we're just journalists, we just report on only the facts and we don't do any narrativizing at all. You're literally writing a fucking story, motherfucker. What do you mean you don't do any narrativizing? Are you guys publishing your stories as MySQL fucking databases that we're just supposed to query terms out of? What do you mean you're not narrativizing? You're literally writing an article.
Willful in trying to craft a narrative. That's not what we're supposed to do.
Right.
That's why, and that's part of why I appreciate the show. We talk back and forth. We add different context, detail, understanding. And for them, you know, by printing it the way they did, I mean, as a journalist, I think the ultimate job is to always include as much understanding of an event mm-hmm. as possible, especially one. There's just something.
That's literally not true. That is definitionally not true. Your job as a journalist is to include as much understanding as possible. No, your job is to include the necessary understanding for a person reading the article to understand the significance of what's being reported on. You don't have to explain every single fucking detail, and you certainly don't have to explain errant details that might not necessarily relate to the story that you're trying to for the thing that you're trying to convey in your story. This is just like, there are just things that people say that like you can tell when somebody says it. It's just thoughtless. It's like, why am I here to like listen to this person just like opine on this topic, saying some thoughtless shit that I, you know, every Redditor, every random fuck is going to say that means nothing. Like, these are just meaningless statements that are the nothing burger statements that are just empty, hollow placations to an audience. I don't know. I hate statements like these. Oh my God. That info changes the severity of what he did though, no? At what part? When? How? Breaking into someone's house versus coming over on the understanding you're getting some booty? Well, it sounds like that was never the understanding. I don't hear that she was like, please come over and massage me or anything else. I don't think, and if you believe that she said the booty thing, she also said, no, don't come over, when it seemed like he was having that misunderstanding.
The ultimate job is to always include as much understanding in an event mm-hmm. as possible, especially one that is just something like this. Jenny is alleging a full-blown felony, punishable by, you know, a decade or plus or whatever in prison. That merits a serious understanding of how we're going to put in all the detail as much as possible, as if then we're go to trial, since they knew the direct implications of their story at the time that they wrote it. Yeah. They knew exactly how it would unfold.
And what's so interesting, like we were saying earlier, credit to Jenny mm-hmm. for volunteering this information.
I totally agree.
Perhaps she thought that maybe Plattner still had the text messages, mm-hmm. but either way, she...
Yeah, she did not hide anything.
She did not hide this at all. It is the media that decided... Mm-hmm. that this was not a relevant detail to share. And like you said, none of what we're saying here is intended to say, oh, well, everything afterwards right. is justified. Of course not. The question is it a relevant detail mm-hmm. that should have been shared with readers so that as they are analyzing how they feel about the situation, they can take it all into context?
Exactly.
Does it give you any clues into how Graham Plattner was interpreting whether or not there was consent, whether or not he was invited over? I don't...
The cops show up, they bust down the door, they've got their guns raised. He's fucking just raping the fuck out of this chick as she's screaming, and he's got his phone. He's like, officers, I have a text from 1 hour ago. All 9 male officers step forward. It's like, goddamn it, he's got the text. Let's go, boys. Pack it in.
Politico affirmatively wrote in its article that he was uninvited.
Right.
You could say he was disinvited by the subsequent text messages.
Yes. Oh my God.
Invited is false.
Yeah,
like it is just flat out false. There was an invitation.
Yeah,
and that's just uninvited.
Where is the invitation? The insinuation, like, I don't even know what she said exactly. I need a booty massage or whatever. I'm coming over. No. I didn't mean it like that. Too late. No going back. What? It's just like, I feel like you could do like a skit where it's like, hey, how are you feeling, Reverend? Girl's like, oh, I don't know. I'm sore. Huh. She just said she's sore. Like, phone, airplane mode on, earplugs in, six-pack of beer. We're fucking driving over. I can't hear shit. My fucking phone is in airplane mode. Let's fucking go. Like, Jesus Christ. Somebody said, Destiny, you public figures have it rough. The old no just means you go back to the nipple for a bit and try again after really doesn't play well for faces in the media anymore. So I don't know if, like, men talk to each other this way, and that's, like, the standard approach to sex. Not to be dramatic, and I'm not talking like crimes or canceling it, but I like that's like rapey behavior to me. Like, if somebody says no for something, then in my mind, you kick the ball to their side of the field, right? So you're like, is this okay or whatever? And they're like, oh, I don't know, I'm not, you know, maybe not yet. Let's just kiss, whatever. And he's like, oh, okay. Tell me when you want me to. And then that's it. And then it's in their field. They know it. And then they have the comfort and safety of knowing you're not going to be constantly trying to push. But the idea of like somebody says no and then you just try again in a few minutes is just, it's just like wearing somebody down. It's also nice if you verbalize all of it. This is why I secretly record all of my sexual. Oh, man. We have to move on from the story. I'm going to make my audience full of incels and femcels. How about telling women to stop being retarded and making us play these mental games when no means yes one day and crying as to why I wasn't applying pressure when she said no sex, and another day it means another you can't win. Women are retarded. Sorry. What you view as women being retarded, though, is actually just them filtering you. And that's what's happening. You're getting filtered. Because if you can't tell and you don't know what's going on and you can't navigate like social interaction without having a step-by-step playbook given to you that could change at any moment depending on the mood, then they just won't want to interact with you. Like, you're getting filtered. I don't know what else to say. Like, that's what's happening there.
It is false.
Yeah.
Like, it is just flat out false. There was an invitation.
Yeah. And that is the key. And it adds even more to this interview, which never thought I would say this. A decent job of questioning here of Mika Brzezinski mm-hmm. and Adam Wren, who's one of the reporters.
Real quick before we go to that. So I asked Jake Tapper if he's aware, if he knew.
Yeah.
I asked, why didn't you do a follow-up
right.
on that? But more importantly, did you ask her off camera? Did you know mm-hmm. that she had said, I need my glute massage mm-hmm. in the text message, that was the thing that he, quote unquote, right. mistook as an invitation. He did not respond.
Okay.
I asked Politico for comment.
Yeah.
They are saying that they're working on a response. Uh-huh. When that response comes in, we'll put it in the newsletter and we'll put it in the notes underneath here. If it comes in before we finish mm-hmm. taping the program, we'll put it up. But anyway, you were saying with Mika.
Yes. Let's get to Mika Brzezinski here talking pressing Adam Wren, one of the reporters who was on this story. Let's take a listen.
What aspects of this story brought it to the level of publishable?
Yeah, you're correct here, Mika. There is no police report in this case. We spent a lot of time talking to Jenny, asking her for corroborating evidence. She shared that she had confided into a number of people, including her therapist, in almost real time. And we reviewed email exchanges between she and her therapist, referring to what she called the sexual assault, and her therapist sort of acknowledging that this had happened to her. We talked to people who she confided in the months after this happened. We asked her why she didn't file a police report, and she described sort of the insular nature of where she lives and her corner of Maine that she shares with Graham Platner. And she, debated sort of how to handle this. And we found ultimately the number of corroborating pieces of evidence to support her story in a way that we could report it.
So what are some of those corroborating pieces of evidence? So you've got conversations with her therapist and people who she confided in. Any conversations with Graham Platner at the time of it where she said, because apparently as part of this story, she says she even confirmed to him that this was not consent. Do you have that? What do you have that actually connects this literally? Graham Platner to raping this victim?
Yeah, she reached out to him the day after via Instagram and essentially, told him that, she didn't want to hear from him again. She told him that morning as well. We looked at messages that she had sent to others in the months after this happened through social media.
But you were able to see those DMs?
Not the ones that
she
sent to him.
Tried to recover those DMs. We did not. We were not able to review those DMs, but she described them to us. We also, long before he was a public, before he was a political candidate, we saw her essentially explain to others that he was, quote, in her words, consensually careless.
So I do think that interview is important because, cut me off if I'm sharing too much, but when you shared before the story came mm-hmm. out, one of the key details where I was like, wow, this is devastating, is you told me the therapist verified her comments. And that didn't happen.
Right.
That wasn't in the story.
Right.
That's pretty
important. That was the rumor.
That was the rumor that was going around, was that the therapist could verify that at a time before he ran for office that she could verify her
right.
allegation. And that's not what happened. And they reviewed emails, between her telling the therapist that it happened
in June of this year. After she started working with
Shane. They did talk to a friend, ex-boyfriend, who backed up her story. So that, that's there. And the Facebook message is there too. But I don't know. I mean, the therapist detail was kind of important.
And I can read from the Politico article. Yep. This is the Politico describing the therapist. Mm-hmm. Razico showed Politico recent emails with her therapist. They say recent. My understanding is this is June, like weeks ago, mm-hmm. In which Razzicott explained she was talking to the media about her relationship with Platner and the SA slash R, using an abbreviation for. In the message, Razzicott was not ready to go public and was seeking help corroborating her account in conversations she was having with reporters on condition of anonymity. Her therapist responded that Razzicott shouldn't have to speak publicly about a traumatic incident in order to be believed without referencing details of any particular incident. The therapist, who Politico agreed not to name her request, declined to comment when reached on Monday. So, if you hear Adam Wren from Politico discussing it, the therapist confirmed that they discussed
that's not what they wrote.
But they should have written that in their article.
So he is saying something which did not appear in their story, which is why I think, again, this is where the rumor mill actually got past what was written. Because when I read that, and I'm assuming the editors, something like this, you go through with a fine-tooth comb, because you're asked to get sued if you get a single detail wrong.
She wrote, basically, do you remember me sharing these details with you? And the therapist wrote back with a general comment on how women should be believed, and she should be believed, and she should be applauded for her courage.
That's not the same
thing. That's not confirming.
That's the same thing.
And they don't report it in their article as confirming, but then they say in interviews that they did, which is, again, people like...
This is kind of true. I signed with the therapist said the corroboration from the therapist was not which I don't think the therapist really corroborated anything. It's the messages to the friends and everything that were more contemporaneous that I think are way stronger than that. I don't like that they mentioned the therapist thing. This part is kind of true.
Take it as a lesson, guys. Clean living. Clean living will get you a clean life. And if you want to run for office, you know, you should be acting like this. And that's final thing. I said it yesterday. That's why I think he's loathsome, because he told people nothing else is coming. And you were rolling around like this 4 or 5 years ago, maybe even 10, 15 years ago, like Lindsey Fifield says.
There could be more that we know.
There could be more that we didn't talk about. And people stuck their necks out for you. How many millions of dollars did you raise? Millions. People donated their hard-earned money to you. And you fucked them over, man. You really did. And he's got to live with that. You know, not just what he did to these women. He betrayed all these supporters' trust.
And I don't know if he even remembers this text message exchange, and I reached out to him for comment, haven't heard back. He may not even know about the existence of these text messages, right, the Gloop thing, because seems like he was blacked out. According to Jenny, the next morning, he rolled over and put his arm around her. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what are you doing? Like, yeah. Do you not remember what happened last night? And he's right. Like, no.
People will do this even when they fucked up and they know they fucked up. It's like that. It's easier to ask for forgiveness than it is for permission, where somebody fucks up, they do retarded shit and they know it. And the next day they're like, oh, hey, what's up? Obviously your partner is still upset. And then the other person's like, well, you know, oh, what's wrong? Are you really still upset or whatever? Like,
she's like, and she's like, get out.
Yeah. His handling of all of it is awful. He never responded, allegedly, you know, according to her, he never responded to her message, right, being like, dude, you raped me.
And that was the thing.
Come on.
That was the thing that he's knocked for over and over, is right, ghosting.
Like, he ghosts these women, he's drunk, you know, acting totally out of control, manic depressive.
Which
and he responded to her message, right, being like, dude, you raped me.
And that was the thing.
Come on.
That was the thing that he's knocked for over and over, is right, ghosting. Like,
he ghosts these women, he's drunk, you know, he's acting totally.
Ghosting is a... That's a word you could, I don't think you would describe that as this, but okay. It's an interesting way of explaining it. Oh, look at the comments. I wish they covered Cuomo like this. Oh, geez. Our media is so unfathomably corrupt. You get to know what we want you to know. Sincerely, corporate media. Well, yeah, they're the ones reporting the story. That's how it always works. The problem is that if Platner were pro-Israel and pro-corporate, the big media outlets wouldn't have printed or aired any of this. They wouldn't have even sought it out to begin with. They would have kept it in their back pocket as leverage to keep him in line. All of them, all the media, would be working together with AIPAC and Netanyahu in order to keep... Are neither of them able to get the records of their text messages from their phone providers from 5 years ago? No. Save your country from the large corporations. It was sent on Instagram also 5 years ago. No, no one's gonna have records of this if they deleted their messages. Jesus. Well, oh God, it's the Satan spawn, the demon.
I loathe horse race politics specifically because of this reason, because it places us in this unbearable position of having to adjudicate something that should have been adjudicated in a court of law if this actually took place. If some...
Why this, dude, oh my God, we got to start Rebirth soon. We have to start Rebirth soon. It's just not, I'm above this. That's actually what's happening. I'm above this media environment. This is a waste of my brain and talents, is to have to watch every single thing and give the most retarded commentary on the planet. This is meant to be adjudicated in a court of law. Really? Everything? So you walk into the house and two bitches are leaving, okay, running out with their lingerie. Your husband is in the bedroom, naked, and you're like, excuse me, motherfucker? And you're like, well, hold on. We need a judge and a jury, and you need beyond reasonable doubt to divorce me, bitch, because you don't know what actually fucking happened here, okay? This needs to be adjudicated in a court of law, okay? We have to adjudicate this one in the court of law. In case you're not aware of this, the reason why you go to court is because the state is prosecuting you for a crime that could lead to a deprivation of your rights. The court process is for crimes and for the state's prosecution of said crimes, not for a person's opinion about you or for a public understanding of something. This is, I can't even believe I have to say these words. It's so fucking stupid. I can't even believe I have to say that. You're not adjudicating anything. You're adjudicating in the contemporary sense of, in a casual sense of the word, but you're not actually passing criminal judgment on this.
If someone entered my home and forcibly raped me, I would not allow the individual who forcibly raped me, that's violent, right, to remain in my home and sleep it off. But that is what she did.
Oh God, she's just a demon cunt. This woman is evil. Maybe I'm just a little fooled by Cenk, because he just seems so retarded. And Anna just seems so much sharper than him. And Cenk just seems like way more emotionally retardedly driven. And she just seems fucking evil. It's just so stupid. She let him sleep? She let him sleep it off. Really?
Forcibly rape me. That's violent, right? To remain in my home and sleep it off. But that is what she did. She alleges that he was so drunk that she didn't want to tell him to leave because he might harm someone on the road. He just forcibly raped you, right? Call the cops, or more importantly, get the hell out of the house. But she did neither one of those things. Neither one of those things.
Yeah, so look, again, I hate the situation we're in where we have to try to adjudicate this with not enough evidence. Could it be that she's telling the truth? Of course it could be. Now, guys, if it's true, if it's true, then it's a huge problem, right? But we don't know for sure that it's true. But in a situation like this, even if you say you're not sure that it's true, that's it. People come and take your head off.
Can somebody link me the police report that she made about the homeless guy that supposedly sexually assaulted her and cost her entire 180 change on her political belief system? Because that is, I don't know if people are aware of that, but a couple of years ago, that, like, did she ever... Is there a police report? Did somebody get arrested and convicted for that? Because that was her entire 2 years ago. That was her entire political awakening to become a right wing MAGA slopulous grifter fucking idiot. Was that supposed sexual assault by a homeless person 2 years ago? Was this
in 2022? It was around March. I was walking my dog. It was not quite dark yet, but the sun was setting. As I'm walking my dog, I see these two guys that were. They were just kind of like moving around weirdly. You know, they seemed kind of manic and mm-hmm. their clothes were tattered. So I knew that they were probably homeless. And I also knew that they're probably on something just based on like the twitchy way they were acting. But living in LA, I mean, there's homeless people everywhere, right? So I've never had problems. I didn't think anything of it. But as I was bending down to pick up my dog's mess, one of the guys like grabs me by my hips and he had an erection and just starts like humping me. And I didn't know what to do. Like I was.
His cock was that strong through his pants that she felt that it was that. Rigid.
Terrified. I didn't have a weapon on me. Yep. Like I had no way of defending myself. I didn't know how far it was going to go because two guys. I'm by myself with my little dog. It was one of the most terrifying things ever because I'm pretty good at defending myself in that moment.
Wait, where is she walking her dog at again? Hold on.
In 2022, it was around March. I was walking my dog. It was not quite dark yet, but the sun was setting. As I'm walking my dog, I see these two guys that were. They were just kind of like moving around weirdly. You know, they seemed.
Where does she live in LA? Does anybody know?
Kind of manic, and their clothes were tattered. So I knew that they were probably homeless, and I also knew that they're probably on something just based on like the twitchy way they were acting, but. Living in LA, I mean, there's homeless people everywhere, right? So I've never had problems. I didn't think anything of it. But as I was bending down to pick up my dog's mess, one of the guys like grabs me by my hips and he had an erection and just starts like humping me. And I didn't know what to do. Like I was terrified. I didn't have a weapon on me. Yep. Like I had no way of defending myself. I didn't know how far it was going to go because two guys, I'm by myself with my little dog. It was one of the most terrifying things ever because I'm pretty good at defending myself. In that moment, I just knew there was no option.
No way.
Yeah. And luckily he stopped and they just laughed at me and walked away as they were laughing at me. And so there was the fear and then the humiliation and weirdly shame. Like I felt ashamed for some reason. And it was awful. And it was really taking a toll on my mental health because I have to walk my dog, right? So at least two or three times a day, I'm going outside kind of scared. And so I opened up about this on the show, not really thinking much of it. And before I know it, I'm starting to get these messages and it's like really, really harsh stuff. And it's about how you are painting a picture of the homeless community. You know, how could you be like this? You know, these are your unhoused neighbors and they need help. Really, really harsh stuff. And it's about how you are going outside kind of scared. And so I opened up about this on the show, not really thinking much of it. And before I know it, I'm starting to get these messages and it's like really, really harsh stuff. And it's about how you are painting a picture of the homeless community, you know, how could you be like this? You know, these are your unhoused neighbors and they need help. A few people accused me of being racist when I had never disclosed the race of the individuals who did this to me. And in fact, they were white. And so like,
I'm so curious if she ever got those messages. I don't know, man.
When they started accusing me of being racist, I'm like, wait a minute, why are you assuming that the people who did this?
Of course.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, I think you might have a problem here.
Exactly.
Yeah. And that woke me up. That woke me up because I'm like, oh my God.
It's just crazy that this was like the story of her political awakening and she didn't call the cops or anything else. But I guess we have to believe all of that story verbatim. But then now we're about to be infinitely critical of this one. Like, come on. I don't know, man. Whatever. Destiny, I'm/doubt. She never said her location. Does she even have a dog? What was she doing out there? Well, I'm just curious where in LA you are, because like there are places you could go where I could see that being true. And then there are places in LA where you'd live where that's just never going to be the case because you live in a nice complex. There's like places where people walk their dogs. It just depends. I'm just curious where in LA she lived. But I wouldn't even remember specifically, like safe versus unsafe places or whatever. There are a lot of homeless people in a lot of LA, though. But it was near a large Armenian population center. I mean, I lived in Glendale for a year. Glendale is a very nice place, actually. But
because they say once we made an allegation, it's over. You're not allowed to object to the allegation. But wait a minute. The thing that caught my attention here, and again, Mika Brzezinski also saying this doesn't look right at all. This is not enough to publish a piece, gives you a sense of we're not making this up, guys, and we're not doing it because we're biased. Look at the fact pattern here. So the thing that caught my eye, Anna, mm-hmm. was on the therapist. Because
yes, the therapist didn't want to talk to the press, by the way.
Yeah, the Politico kept saying, well, she says she talked to the therapist.
I mean, that's probably fairly normal. You've got a lot of like confidentiality stuff between therapists and doctors, like healthcare workers. I don't know if it's HIPAA that applies to therapists. It might be, but generally you have big confidentiality things there.
And the therapist does not acknowledge it, but says that they do have a relationship. No,
Let's be totally accurate, okay? Yeah. The therapist acknowledged that she spoke to her recently about what allegedly happened, but did not want to issue a statement to Politico.
Yeah, so we have no idea. But that's the thing. You're in order to print a story, you're supposed to have two excellent sources, right? So here, the only thing that's a little bit persuasive is those text messages that Anna read to you guys. And so then you guys make up your own mind on whether you think calling someone consensually careless is the same as saying he raped me. So, and by the way, in all of these stories, it's barely ever mentioned that they were in a relationship at the time.
She spent more time elaborating how disgusted she was that he might have slept with a lot of women than she did about the alleged rape.
when she's talking to an acquaintance who's asking her about Graham Plattner because she's thinking about fixing a friend up with him.
Link me the story with all the messages. Oh, we did read these, I think. I saw your post about oysters the other day. I feel morally obligated to warn you if you're anything more than just friends with Graham. But if you're not, then I'll just shut up for now and give you the scoop sometime. LOL. Just friends. Would love the scoop, though. Is he still engaged? I was working on fixing up a friend. Oh, I have an idea. Or, oh, wait. Oh, I have no idea with who. Oh, girl. I think her name is something. Oh, girl. I think her name is Jen from, like, the Rockland area. I don't know. I haven't heard of anyone. He was, as of last summer, that I know of, but also my timeline's a little sketch, so maybe it was the summer before, but either way, they've been on and off. But then I was told they got engaged. Yeah, COVID totally messed up my timeline for everything. What's his deal? Should I not fix up my friend, assuming he's single? He can be charming and funny, and he's a decently intelligent person. He's not all bad, but I ended up in a bad situation with him, and I will just very politely call him consensually careless at times. When drunk, plus PTSD. I knew about the PTSD. He lies also, forced himself on people. Okay. One thing that grossed me out after him and I had dated was that I saw his profile on OkCupid, and that site asks a lot of questions. And one of the questions was, if your partner told you they had over 100 sexual partners, what your response be? And his response was, that's not that many. So that's super grossed me out. I think he's probably slept with a ton of people. And then her response was, doesn't listen to you when drunk, .. Were the rest of the messages. Thumbs down. L rape in chat, okay?
By the way, in all of these stories, it's barely ever mentioned that they were in a relationship at the time.
She spent more time elaborating how disgusted she was that he might have slept with a lot of women than she did about the alleged rape. When she's talking to an acquaintance who's asking her about Graham Plattner because she's thinking about fixing a friend up with him.
Were they in a relationship or were they... It sounds like they were just like hooking up occasionally. We saw like 8 messages. It's not like there was that much. And she was just describing... She said he was good in some ways and bad in other ways. Like what...
They go to the current boyfriend, the therapist, the other folks. People that normally in a story like this go, yes, at the time she...
What did they say in this Politico article about the therapist? Hold on. Showed Politico recent emails with the therapist in which Rebecca got explained. She was talking to the media about her relationship with Plattner and the SA/rape using an abbreviation for sexual assault in the message. Was not ready to go public, was seeking help corroborating her account in conversation she was having with reporters on condition of anonymity. Her therapist responded that Rebecca shouldn't have to speak publicly about a traumatic incident in order to be believed without referencing details of any particular incident. The therapist, who Politico agreed not to name at her request, declined to comment when reached out on Monday. Okay. In the Politico story, they don't really say the therapist corroborated it. Maybe that's just other tweets I've seen that are kind of careless, but it doesn't seem like the Politico story said that.
She told me this, and this is a text message we have, etc. None of that is here other than the two texts that Anna read you. One of them is barely relevant. The other one is the one that has the careless comment, right? So if you think that's definitive, I'm 100% positive, no problem, because it's your, like, we all make a different choice on how we view it. So look, for me, this is not about whether Graham Plattner did it or not. That's at this point, that question is almost irrelevant because
it's over. It's over.
Yeah. Everybody pulled their endorsement. It's considered toxic. You can't support him, blah, blah, blah. So we're not trying to fight that battle, guys. We're trying to tell you how politics works and what to be on the lookout for, and you know, how does this process work? Because were there all these different opposition research groups targeting Susan Collins and calling all of her ex-boyfriends and looking through her text messages, asking about theirs? None, zero. Is there any about like establishment candidates, Democrat or Republican? Almost never. It has to fall right into your lap, right? And again, it's oppo research usually by other Democrats, right?
I will say, as a small olive branch to mankind, as somebody currently being sued, it would be pretty rough for somebody to just come out and make an accusation and then you don't have anything to corroborate anything. And it's just kind of like your word against theirs. Like, assuming somebody was totally fabricating something, I don't know how we solve for that. Or what, aside from having like contracts with every person you hook up with, then you would sue them. Why? You're not even guaranteed to win any money suing somebody, no? What do you mean? Why? How would that help you at all? You are somewhat of an expert on getting targeted by totally fabricated... Well, nobody is accusing me of rape yet. The closest would probably be, I guess, Merck. But if it's just like one person's word against another's, I feel like the only thing I can cite to defend myself is just that I have a high body count. So I can say, well, look at all these other people I didn't rape. I mean, like, I don't think I would ever try to run for office, though, right? Because I'm pretty sure any one of a million things could be dug up and then you would have to... like, that would just be a fool's errand. Fuck that. Merck said what? Merck, I don't even know why or what motivated her to say this, but me and Merck hung out in person. I don't even know. I want to say a year ago, but everything in my mind is a year ago. It was probably like 2 or 3 years ago. I think she was like lonely and depressed. We chatted for a bit and I was still setting up the studio downstairs for the podcast. So I drove, picked her up, and then she just hung out downstairs. I think she played her DS or something, or some Steam, what, I don't know. And then I set up the studio for, I think, like 3 or 4 hours. And then we went upstairs. We slept in my bed. I don't even know if we touched each other. I'm not sure. Well, we definitely didn't do anything sexual. And then when I drove her back home and that was it. It was fine. There's nothing weird, nothing bad, whatever. We just, you know, chatted, hung out. And then like a year and a half later, I think she's on some Discord call or whatever, or I don't know where she's at or where she tweets out or she says this on stream. She's like, oh yeah, when I was sleeping, Destiny tried to touch my vagina between my legs or something. And I'm like, but then she's like, I'm not saying that he tried to do anything bad, because once I told him no, he stopped. But it's just like, why? Also, this woman is like 6'4", okay? I'm pretty sure she would just kill me if I were to try to do anything. For, like, I'm pretty sure I would be the victim here. But no, it's just like a random. But I mean, she could have theoretically say, oh, he tried to fucking rape me or whatever. Wait, sorry, hold on. Merk is not 6'4". I'm sorry, I'm exact. She's probably like, but she legitimately, I think, is like 5'10 or 5'11 or something. She's definitely taller than me by quite a bit. She might be 5'11 or 6 foot. As a woman, Soy, I think it's perfectly reasonable to question women making accusations. It's all about doing so in a decent, civil way. If they have zero proof, no old text messages, etc., nothing in their favor, then I think it's okay to dismiss it simply because it's not fair on the person being accused. Every situation is different, but the internet makes black and white rules for them all, it seems. Yeah, like, I would say there are text messages to that friend that makes him seem pretty iffy. I don't know what other corroborating evidence there was in there. The thing that I would say feels the shittiest about this, but it kind of cuts both ways, I guess, is the idea that, like, I'm not going to say anything, but if he gets too far, then I'm going to bring this out to kind of knock him down a peg, which, I don't know. That feels a little bit, but I say it cuts both ways because I also kind of understand it, where it's like everybody's looking up to this guy as like a senator and he's a fucking rapist. And it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's rough. Yeah, I don't know. It's rough. I don't know. It's a very difficult thing to navigate, I guess. Yeah. Like, even with my messages to Pixie, when all of my shit first got published, I wasn't really thinking in terms of, like, oh, like, we're going to be suing each other. But I'm still, like, I try to be somewhat careful. I don't want to say, like, super retarded shit. But, like, so many people want to crucify me just on that one comment of, like, oh, like, I'm sorry. Like, this is the worst thing in the world or whatever. And they're like, oh, that means that you were guilty of violating her consent. It's like, well, no. It's... somebody's shit just got leaked because of a guy who I assume is my anti-fan. Like, it has nothing to do with, like, I also feel really bad for everybody that gets doxxed around me or anybody else gets harassed, but that doesn't mean I'm saying it's, like, my fault or I have, like, the responsibility for it. But even on that, like, one message. So it's like, if somebody messages you and a girl is like, hey, especially around sexual shit, like, if a girl messages you and she's like, hey, like, you wronged me, you know, in some huge way, like, if a guy were asking me advice, I don't know if I would ever tell that guy, oh, yeah, you should definitely try to make up with her or apologize or whatever, because it's like, why would you want a written record of you having admitted to doing something wrong? Because, like, say in this circumstance, like, say he would have responded to her and he said, like, I think that I fucked up last night. Like, there was no reason for me to come over. I fucked up really bad. Like, I'm sorry. Like, but, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I'm really sorry. This is not good. If he would have said that, then it would be, like, 100 times worse for him, you know? So, like, what is the incentive ever to apologize or to make amends or whatever? Saying make amends is weird. You can't undo it. But, like, there's, like, zero incentive for that. So it's like, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of hard. The biggest thing to me that seemed really bad was Plattner's response to it. That seemed like a... that's why I thought he was dropping out. And then the video was so bad.
Of the new allegations, senior national politics correspondent for Politico, Adam Wrenn. Adam, I want to get right to the questions about this, the questions surrounding this on both sides of this debate. There's not a police report, correct? Correct me if I'm wrong. And there's not a legal case playing out here for due process to see itself through. So my question to you, given the very high standards Politico has before they write something like this and publish it, what aspects of this story brought it to the level of publishable?
Yeah, you're correct here, Mika. There is no police report in this case. We spent a lot of time talking to Jenny, asking her for cooperating evidence. She shared that she had confided into a number of people, including her therapist, in almost real time. And we reviewed email exchanges between she and her therapist, referring to what she called the sexual assault, and her therapist sort of acknowledging that this had happened to her. We talked to people who she...
That statement is just not true, or it didn't make it into the story. His characterization there is very not true. What he just said there was not in the story. So maybe they didn't publish that, and he's not aware exactly that that did get published, but...
confided in the months after this happened. We asked her why she didn't file a police report, and she described sort of the insular nature of where she lives in her corner of Maine that she shares with Graham Plattner. And she, you know, debated sort of how to handle this. And we found ultimately the number of corroborating pieces of evidence to support her story in a way that we could report it.
So what are some of those corroborating pieces of evidence? So you've got conversations with her therapist and people who she confided in. Any conversations with Graham Plattner at the time of it where she said, because apparently as part of the story, she said she even confirmed to him that this was not consent. Do you have that? What do you have that actually connects this literally? Graham Plattner to raping this victim?
Yeah, she reached out to him the day after via Instagram and essentially, you know, told him that, you know, she didn't want to hear from again. She told him that morning as well.
Okay, hold on. I'm sorry. I'm not giving credit to anybody anymore because I realize now, especially as I talk to more and more people behind the scenes, that I just give way too much credit to everybody. This guy either should not be having this conversation, he should have prepared for it, or he needed notes or something. The answers that he gives here are very misleading. The journalist is doing a good job. The lady speaking to him, whoever the anchor is doing a good job of kind of pulling more detailed answers out of him, because when he says this, we saw a clip of this before. He's making it sound like they've seen these messages, and they haven't. She's asking for what have you done to corroborate to ensure that the story is true. It doesn't count as corroboration to use the lady saying that she had sent messages if you haven't seen them. This is like when Connor and Jessica are like, oh, we have three sources of Brittany, three sources of Stephen wanting to molest her kids, three sources. Like, hold on, no, you don't. You have one person who said a bunch of stuff like a year ago or whatever. But it's one person. It's one source at the exact same time for all of it. You don't have like three corroborating sources. I don't know why you keep saying this. He's playing like a trick here.
The day after via Instagram, and essentially, you know, told him that, you know, she didn't want to hear from him again. She told him that morning as well. We looked at messages that she had sent to others in the months after this happened through social media.
But you were able to see those DMs?
She tried to recover those DMs. We were not able to review those DMs, but she described them to us. We also, long before...
So that's still her... I wouldn't call that a corroboration. I wouldn't call that a corroboration at all.
He was a public... before he was a political candidate, we saw her essentially explain to others that he was, quote, in her words, consensually careless, end quote.
Were you able to see the interactions between Graham Plattner and this alleged victim? Did you actually physically see them? Did she produce them for you?
She attempted to uncover them, but was unable to.
No.
Willie?
So let's talk a little bit, Adam, about some of the timing of this. Some people pointed out it's a week out from the date the Democrats now have to scramble to potentially find a new candidate if Plattner does indeed drop out as he's expected to. We'll talk more about his support in the Democratic Party nationally at the state level has collapsed after these revelations. She was, Jenny, in that New York Times speech. She appeared in the piece a few weeks ago. So what's your sense of why she decided she wanted to go into more detail with you at this point?
Yeah, Willie, she was frustrated with how that article landed. She told us she was frustrated with another woman that she knows who was quoted in that piece, how she came off just because she was a Republican. And, she wanted Maine voters to have sort of the full story here. And, how her story was received. She felt there was a lot of negative polarization around that that anecdote that she was written off just because she was a Republican. And, she wanted Maine voters to have sort of the full story here. And, she sort of relayed all of this to us.
And how do you square, yesterday we just saw on that soundbite, that Graham Plattner just saying objectively that the charges are false. He says they are troubling, but that they're false, that this doesn't happen. So just to pull back the curtain a little bit, how do you square that as a reporter as you produce the story?
Yeah, we reached out to the Plattner campaign early Sunday. We gave them roughly 24 hours to sort of respond to this and, included their response. We stress test all of the reporting in this as much as we could. And, included his denial. But Jenny describes him as being, deeply intoxicated. And, at times while this alleged attack was occurring, he was sort of, just as she describes it, passing in and out of recognition of what was going on and even, occasionally, apologizing. And, the next morning she confronted him about this and he didn't quite seem to remember what had happened. And she felt deeply wounded by that. And in her telling, lived with that for years.
So Adam, let's talk now about how the Plattner campaign is responding. We saw the video from a candidate yesterday, and he says taking time to reevaluate next steps. What is his team suggesting to you as to what the timing might look like for indeed his decision as to what to do next? We have, as we'll dive into in a few minutes, have seen his support nationally really fall apart here. How is this landing with his campaign? Because he is, to this point, his popularity has been pretty resilient in Maine due to previous allegations. This one, though, might be different.
Yeah, John, there's some indication that he is trying to have some leverage in the situation and find a candidate who sort of fits his progressive fighter profile. The former progressive gubernatorial candidate, Troy Jackson, has been name-checked as a possible replacement here. And so in some ways, he's trying to look at the contours and negotiate, a potential exit from his race. He has galvanized a lot of support in Maine. You see these videos from the town halls that he has, the way that he's received on the campaign trail. And there's a lot of, significant support for his platform, for his message, the way that's resonating across the state of Maine. And so, they're looking for a path out and they're weighing sort of all their options at this point.
So, Adam, in closing, obviously, this is a huge political bombshell story, a story that might, probably will, lead to the end of Graham Plattner's campaign. I'm going back to the decision to publish, and I'm curious what concrete evidence. You have conversations with therapists, conversation with friends, but what took this story beyond Graham Plattner saying this was consensual, Jenny Rasko saying this was not consensual? What took it over the edge and had you and your editors decide to publish, of course, kind of an earthquake in...
I didn't understand. Did the reporters see actual messages between the woman and her therapist? So this guy is implying that they saw emails between the therapist and the lady that corroborated contemporaneous conversations about the rape. Now, that's what he's saying, but we didn't see that in the story. So I don't know if he's referencing stuff that didn't make it to print or if he's misremembering his, what was actually reported or what they find.
Democratic politics. What was the piece of evidence or pieces of evidence that made you sure of the story?
Yeah, long before he was a political candidate, long before much of the country knew his name, Jenny, in her telling, had confided in a number of people. We saw screenshots that she shared of messages relaying this account to others. We viewed an email.
Others? Multiple people? Because I think we only saw messages between her and one person. I don't think we saw, and it was only one reference. We didn't see multiple messages to anybody else, unless it was in that story and it just wasn't pictured. Am I missing something? So we have this person, this anonymous person she dated. That's kind of a source here, okay. And then we have one set of messages that she exchanged with an acquaintance in 2023, and then another anonymous friend. Okay, we just don't have those messages or anything published about it other than just saying there was a conversation with them.
A response from her therapist to her, acknowledging that they had talked about
those
this.
Those are the things I said, but those are what?
Right. Jenny, in her telling, had confided in a number of people. We saw screenshots that she shared of messages relaying this account to others. We viewed an email response from her therapist to her, acknowledging that they had talked about
those
this.
Those are the things I said, but...
Acknowledging that they had talked about this. Those screenshots are... Even his summary there didn't make it to the article, though, because in the article, it very specifically says it was just recent things not referencing that particular incident, but okay.
Those are, what is the actual, is there evidence between her and him, evidence of a crime? Because he's being accused of rape. So what put this over the edge? Because yeah, he says he didn't, and he has people on his side who say he didn't. She says he did, and there are people who have been, what's the through line? What ties this together and gives you the evidence to bring the story to the point of publishable?
Yeah, we interviewed her, three separate times. Her story stayed consistent across those times. We talked to people who she had spoken with contemporaneously about these attacks, and all of those stories lined up and checked out. And ultimately, Politico stands by our reporting, and we talked to, people who corroborated her story largely.
The new reporting is online right now. Senior national politics correspondent for Politico, Adam Wrenn, thank you so much for getting up early and sharing this story with us. We appreciate it.
That interview sucked. Jeez.
Were you in Plattner? You're very anti-Plattner? Kind of where you at?
I'm a huge anti-slopulist guy, so I just don't like him for that reason. But I mean, I'll take almost any blue person over a Republican. I'd probably still take him over. I would still take him over the Republican.
What do you think about the allegations, though? You think that's like something that's disqualifying, or do you think that's kind of a BS how they're springing this on him?
When you say disqualifying, are you asking me disqualifying as in I think it hurts him enough in the general that he should be passed over, or as in like the character flaw is so deficient that he should never hold office?
Either one. I mean, do you think that's something that, like, do you think that he should drop out based on this? Like, let's say if it wasn't an electability thing. Like, is this actually, like, believable enough and a big enough character flaw, the recent allegations, to change your opinion on whether he should be in office?
I would have to think a lot about that. I'm not sure. That's a hard one. Yeah, I would have to think a lot about that. Fuck, it's a really hard one. It's really difficult because it's like, because the question is like, opposed to a Republican, I'm almost always going to say yes. But like, let's say that we oppose them. Let's say it's not a Trump world and it's just an ordinary, we'll go back to a neocon that we have like policy disagreements on, but they're not like amoral demons that are trying to destroy the Western world. I don't really factor character in much when it comes to political stuff, I guess. I mean, if he was like an unrepentant, like serial rapist, I think this would be really bad. I do think that given the woman's allegations of everything that she says is true, I think that's really bad. I honestly haven't thought about it that much. I feel like for politicians, usually these people they go through the ringer so much and they're so field tested that it's not that common that like a crazy allegation comes out. So we don't really have to think about it that much. Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's a totality of circumstances with Plattner. This was just one accusation or like two, I hate this thing that as a general matter, like you can have a relationship with a woman and she can go public 3 or 5 years later and say something happened without any.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Yeah. I'm in the middle of a fucking coming to the end of $1 million lawsuit. So yeah.
Yeah. So like there's nothing corroborating in the woman with the rape allegation from the time. There's a couple years later, she talked to a therapist and she sent some text messages literally 2 years later. Right. And that can't be the rule. But, it's this guy who's like, married and like 1 month later sending all these messages and like, has several women saying he mistreated them. And like, with the shit posting, in totality, yeah, I think he clearly has a character problem. At the same time, like if this brings him down, this like kind of Me Too stuff, like I really, really dislike this. It's like fine as like a straw that broke a camel's back, but you can, I remember the Kavanaugh thing. I think that was a tragedy. I wonder if you agree with that, because this is a woman who couldn't even prove she had ever been in the room with Brett Kavanaugh.
Was that whole thing happened before I was on Vivant, so I would have to go back and re-research now with my ability to read more long form stuff to give you a more informed opinion.
You could have. That's interesting.
I'm much better now over the past 2 or 3 years. But
there was no, like, this woman could not prove they were in the same room. Like, never. Like, we didn't. He says he doesn't remember anything. She says he pinned her down. Not that he even raped her, but like he pinned her down. And I think
I understand. Well, I mean, I have your opinion. Given your set of facts, I don't think you're a crazy person. Okay. So I would obviously agree. Yeah.
Look it up. Yeah,
I'm just going to say, if you believe a certain thing and you give me your set of facts, I imagine I'm probably going to agree with you because I don't think you're irrational, right? So, I do agree there's like an issue there. Obviously, I thought about it. Obviously, coming to the end of this lawsuit, like if some woman who I knew 5 years ago was just like, oh, by the way, this guy raped me, it's like, okay, well, fuck me, I guess. What do we do now? I think you have to consider it from the character's perspective. You also have to consider it from the political opposition perspective. Like, if he does have these skeletons in his closet, what do you do if, like, the Republicans want to bring this weapon out? And now you have to contend with that. I also think this is a deeper question that goes much further than society. I think all our conversations about sex, I feel like we peaked. Maybe this is just my white man perspective. I feel like we peaked on a lot of social awareness and conversations and, like, in like maybe the mid-2000s, I don't know, coincidentally when I was in high school, so maybe it's just my brain. And then like, I think like the super woke stuff happened, which got a little bit retarded, and then the response to that got mega retarded. And then now we've got, black lady, Harvard Congress saying, we call those birthing people, not women, that's transphobic. And it's just, everything just got so stupid. And then conservatives are on whatever, I don't even know where the fuck they're at. So all that being said, like, I do think there's an interesting question. It's like, let's assume that a person did, like, rape somebody 5 or 10 years ago. Like, is there any coming back from that? Or is there, like, certain stuff that this guy is just locked out of forever, knowing that we had presidents that were slaveholders, knowing that, right? I don't know what the answer to that question is. It's very difficult. But also, there's also this counter thing, and obviously I've had to consider this a lot now, especially as I've become more and more public, where it's like, if I was giving advice to a public figure in the background, if a new upcoming person was, you know, asking me, yeah, I had a conflict with this girl, like, do you think I should apologize? Like, my advice would always be, no, don't fucking say anything. If you want, you can sign something or get a lawyer, an NDA maybe, but why the fuck would you ever apologize or acknowledge any wrongdoing ever when that's just going to be used against you in the future, right? Like, for this woman, yeah, let's assume that everything happened as she said. Let's say that Plattner did reply to her and he was like, listen, my behavior last night was totally fucking unacceptable. I got hammered. I shouldn't have forced myself on you. Like, I'm sorry. Like, from the bottom of my heart, like, I fucked up. Like, that would just be that much worse now if they had that text message. So, you know, like, what do you even do, you know?
If Graham Plattner was your son and you were giving him advice, actually what I would tell him is, don't put it in, apologize, because you don't want to piss her off, right? Because if he stayed nice to her and she left him and they had like a great another year of relationship after, like, maybe she doesn't come forward, right? Maybe. She's not better. So apologize, but not in writing, right? Do not text it.
I think
you got to take her out to dinner and then have a conversation with her and make her happy.
Maybe, yeah. We have a huge issue with, like, how to deal with women and sex related stuff in society. Like, if you're on the left, the women are treated, in my opinion, it's way too elevated sometimes. But then if you're on the right, you can literally rape and traffic women and nobody gives a fuck. So it's like, we have no, I mean, like, who was the guy? He finally had to drop out in Texas 23 or whatever when his staffer or person like set herself on fire. Yeah, because it was just so much like she had to self-immolate.
He had like flirtatious texts with her, I think. He might have had an affair with her, I'm not sure.
Sure.
She set herself on fire, which is like, I mean, that's not, I don't think that's his fault.
maybe not, but I'm just saying like it had to be that extreme. But I'm saying like we have a really hard time in society where we cannot reasonably deal with any type of sexual allegation related stuff, because depending on what side you're on, it gets so much weight one way or another. And yeah, that's very frustrating and very annoying. But
yeah, I mean, there's a bigger question here of like what are we doing? Like, is every man who sleeps with a lot of women, is he like leaving in his path like a lot of damaged women? Like, how kind of healthy has this thing been where, like, you know, casual sex is accepted? I don't know. I'm not like, you know, I know there's right-wing people who think like this is the ultimate issue. I go back and forth. I don't have a completely strong opinion on this, but like, I kind of think that that's what we might be watching. Any guy who was a Chad who slept with, I don't know, more than 10 or 15 women in his life, like, might have like three who just hate his guts. Like, I that strikes me as completely plausible.
Yeah. And I think the big issue is that, I've joked about this before, that if you have to take a sexual path through life as a woman, I think that you're better off starting as like a very conservative person and your attachment to sex is unhealthy and you have to learn to open up later, because I think you learn more of kind of like the emotional and physical guarding things, and then you can open up down the line. Whereas if you start on the liberal train, I'm sorry, but like the super woke people are sometimes just fucking retarded on shit, you know, where it's like, it's way too blasé and way too open and way too stupid. Like, these are people who will say like a 20 year old dating like a 40 year old is rape. And it's like, okay, but what if it was just a 20 year old with OnlyFans who was selling material to a 40 year old? It's like, oh no, that's totally fine. That's sexual liberation. I was like, well, what the fuck? What are we doing here? Like, it's so stupid. And then those people,
Or even younger, like they say, like, okay, a 14-year-old with a 20-year-old, like, he should go to jail. She can't handle that mentally. But like a 14-year-old and a 16-year-old, like, if the 14-year-old cannot consent to sex, right? If she's not mentally ready, like, why with like another young person? Like, oh, there's another thing, there's a power thing or whatever, or the 20-year-old's smarter and can manipulate her or whatever, like whatever the question is. But like, no, is it a problem or not? Like, can a 14-year-old actually make that decision? And we don't have like a consistent, you know, understanding of these things. It's interesting. You're more socially conservative than I would. You're like a right wing guy, kind of, right? You're like pro market. You're kind of socially conservative.
I grew up as a very libertarian. Well, I'm not socially conservative. I'm a massive fucking whore, and I'm paying the price for it right now. So, but
what is a master whore?
I said I'm a master whore. I'm a huge whore. So I'm very socially liberal. But it's just, this is the person that I am. There's like this is how I would summarize my approach towards life. Okay, sometimes people will say things like, people don't like me because I tell it like it is. People just don't like me because I'm blunt, okay? This person is retarded. The problem is that people don't like you because you're an asshole sometimes. If somebody can say, there are a lot of people that don't like me. It's because I can be pretty blunt and I'm kind of a jerk, you know, like I'm an asshole the way I speak or whatever. This is a person who like engages in a type of behavior. They enjoy that type of behavior, but they recognize that there are like pros and cons. That's all I ever ask for people in life to do, right? So like I'm a big markets guy because I recognize that there are times when markets are very powerful, but I also recognize there are times where markets like completely and totally fucking fail to deliver on a certain thing and we need to have like some kind of government intervention there. Usually when people talk about like these things in the middle, they're tying the thing to the outcome that they want to achieve, and then that thing becomes like morally inseparable. So like I think that affordable housing is really important. I think that we should all be able to afford some kind of place to live, but like rent control is not the way to do it. I don't believe that based on everything that I've seen, but people will tie rent control to the affordable housing, and then if you oppose like a rent control or if you oppose like a billionaire tax, you must hate poor people. And yeah, that's just the issue that I have, is that people can't engage with like the pros and cons of any particular thing. Yeah,
I mean, that's a, you know, that's a kind of perspective where you're just kind of rational and pragmatic, but you know, from my perspective, like markets are true, like free markets being the better way to deliver things. So that makes you right wing in my kind of understanding.
I've never said they're better. I say markets are real, markets are powerful, and they cannot be ignored. That's all I would say. They can't be ignored. If you want to influence one with the government, you can do it, but acknowledge that there's going to be side effects, right? Every time, yeah.
Yeah. And hard leftists don't believe that. And like populist J.D. Vance types, right, don't believe that either. Trump types don't believe that either. They think it's just brute force, whatever kind of society they want, instead of market forces. And even some of the policies like, you know, no corporate ownership of homes and like stuff like that is like, you know, there's kind of this horseshoe thing with people who don't trust the markets.
So. Sure. I have this, I would agree with you. It's very annoying. I'll just say that, yeah.
Remember to hit that like and subscribe, and don't forget the notification bell so that my videos show up right in your feed.